screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot. We a number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Hey, yo, what y'all thought this was? One more time, hey. Y'all called for it. Y'all asked for it.
Hey.
Christina Warner, if you're listening. Shout out everybody who called for Young Zell. Let's go.
They do not know what Sacktown brings. When on the low, that's a Sacktown thing. Talking about us, it's a bounce out thing. Must they forgot we some Sacramento Kings. Whole squad going crazy, yeah, we back with it. Northern Cali going crazy, one sack winning. If you doubted us then, ain't no backspinning. This is real right here, ain't no catfishing. So tell me what you see now.
See now.
Coming down the lane off the rebound.
Rebound.
It's 916 now.
Look to the sky like the beam now. Tell them like the beam, hey.
Hold up.
Tell them like the beam now. You can tell them, you can tell them.
Stop doing that.
Tell them like the beam, like the beam now. You can tell them, you can tell them.
Y'all thought we was going to go one verse for Malik Monk? Oh, no chance. Come on, Zell.
Hey.
Sack crowd, make sure everyone knows. Let me tell you how this thing really goes. Yeah, we travel deep. Whether we home or on the road, we lit. You don't want that smoke with a team
over here.
We shaking things over here. Don't doubt. We believe over here. We don't bleed over here. And let me just real clear, only deal with real kings over here.
So tell me what you see now.
Down the lane off the rebound.
Hey, 916 now. Hey.
Tell
them like the beam. Let's go, baby.
Let's go.
Just letting.
Let's go.
Just let my man get his.
It's a good day.
Let's go.
It's a good day. Vibes are up.
Let my man
Let's
cook.
Go.
Let my man cook.
You know what that is? That's when Gina used to do the rerun.
Yeah, I remember. I remember.
It cracks me up every time she does it.
Welcome into the Friday, June 21st edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Marling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
S. Monty McNair.
I'm in God
He's
mode.
He's in God mode.
Come on, man. Come on,
Let's
man.
Let's go. Hey, look, I want to make this official. We out here, you know, anywhere in the city, handing out keys to the city and all this other stuff. They did that last week at Concerts in the Park. I hereby, D-Lo and KC,
yep.
Hereby declare today, June 21st,
yep.
Malik Monk Day in the city of Sacramento. On, Let's go.
Talk about it.
It's Malik Monk Day.
Talk about
Let's
it.
Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you we ain't going to get cussed out when we get off stage. I don't tell you that right now. That's a story for another time.
That's for the Patreon.
That's for the Patreon episode of D-Lo and KC. Yo, man.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Boy, Sacramento Kings fans, take a deep breath. Relax. Chill. To the nearly 2,000 people in the chatty house watching on Twitter, watching on Twitch, watching on YouTube, take a deep breath and just relax. Because now, Monty McNair, Wes Wilcox, Mike Brown, this front office, this coaching staff, this ownership group, they could start building out the next version of the Sacramento Kings, because the most important component has landed. Malik Monk ain't going nowhere. He's staying for the 478.
Yeah, man.
He's got an option in year number four. He is in full control over everything that happens with his financial future. And the biggest offseason story for the Sacramento Kings has been put to bed well before free agency begins.
Hey, I'm going to be real with you. I can't believe this happened. Not that he stayed, but last night.
Yeah.
Last night. Kamara asked us about a week ago. He said, what's the chances as soon as the finals is over, we get a Malik Monk tweet from Woj or something like that? That's a 0% chance. Yeah. Bro, it's only like 4 days later.
Yeah.
I said, you'll probably get something after the 4th of July. You know, maybe somewhere like that at the earliest. I couldn't believe. And I'm happy to be wrong in this case. I couldn't believe that happened last night. I couldn't believe it. I'm over the moon.
Let's talk about this. Robinson asked, is it finalized yet, though? It's not. It won't be finalized till July 6th, I believe.
Mm-hmm. It's like the same thing with Siakam signing his deal with the Pacers,
yeah,
basically.
Like, Malik's not going to change his mind because, I mean, that's very, 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 very rare. Mm-hmm. And you almost never see that with players the caliber of Malik Monk. I think we saw it with, was it one of the Morrises? In San Antonio, maybe?
That's a good call. I think that's where it was.
We saw someone kind of like change their mind there. You know, there's the old Carlos Boozer, Cleveland Cavaliers. There's that, but it doesn't happen very often. It cannot be finalized till July. I wouldn't put any energy into sweating it not being finalized yet. Malik is here. Malik is a Sacramento King for at minimum the next 4 years.
And the other thing that I would feel great about this situation is the way I read it. You can tell me if I'm wrong or if it even matters. But the way I read it, because he was name dropped, I think this came from Jeff Schwartz.
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah, yeah. So, I think Woj acknowledged as much in the tweet.
Saying, yeah, he name dropped him. So I'm not saying that makes it, you know, he signed on the paper, but the agent ain't going to go out there and say all that stuff.
He can't sign. Like, he can't put his name to paper yet. But, yeah, an agent's not. Again, I wouldn't put any energy into worrying about that. Agents don't allow that stuff to happen. Right. Franchises don't allow that stuff to happen. It'll be finalized July 6th. Everything you hear from now until July 5th won't be finalized till July 6th. No matter what happens when free agency gets underway on June 30th, none of it is real until the new league year starts, which is July 6th.
Yeah.
So, again, I wouldn't put any worry into that. It was damn near euphoric on Twitter last night. Like, what an amazing response to that tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski that Malik Monk is in fact staying here in Sacramento.
So I'll just tell you my little experience, right? I was out playing in the backyard with the kids and all this other stuff, and you know, I was just chilling, just kind of, you know, decompressing a little bit from the day, and I didn't have my phone by me. I get to my phone, I see the group chat going up, and I'm like, you know, you guys think it's shoot like or work? No, we don't talk outside of the show.
And we don't even like each other, to be honest with you, especially after what happened with the eggs yesterday.
Yeah, I can't come to Damien's house anymore.
That was classic. Well, I see the group chat going up. There ain't no game going on now. I'm like, man, what happened? And then, you know, I see a couple things. I was like, oh. Well, Jesse said one thing. I ain't going to step on it. You can talk about it. But Jesse said one thing. I was like, oh, damn. Do we miss out on him, too? He got traded, too? Damn. All right. So I checked the Twitter. I'm not thinking it's anything Kings-related. And I see that Woj tweet. And I said, oh, we up. We up. My boy said, we up in the chat. Mm-hmm. I said, we up to Ryan. She's looking at me crazy like, why are you telling me this?
She looks at everybody crazy.
I'm like, we up. Let's go, man. It was a party in the house for the rest of the night.
Yeah,
it was
quite the evening. I told my experience to Jesse. I told the insiders earlier. James and I both got a message that, hey, this thing with Malik, I think, has gone south.
Mm.
There is a team that has offered him. It appears there's a team that's offered him like a good, like a game-changing amount of money.
Mm.
And I didn't like tell you because I was like, all right, because it wasn't from the people we normally talk about. So I was like, all right, I'm going to follow up on this tonight and see what we can get. Sent the message, was like, hey, do you know of any team throwing a bag that's just going to throw Sacramento out of this at Malik? And got a response maybe like 10 to 15 minutes later that said, Malik is staying, Woj has it. So I'm like, so this is where
I would have lost my mind.
This is, but that not. So in that moment, I'm not even thinking. I'm like, my first thought is I'm looking at the text like Malik is staying. Woj has it. Malik is staying in Sacramento. OK, Woj is going to report. And then so I'm thinking, can I report this?
Mm.
And I'm like, all right, I don't think I can.
Yeah.
So I'm not. So I'm. It didn't matter because the Woj tweet. I go to the show thread. I go to the station thread, and I'm going to text you guys like, "Hey, I think Malik is staying." Woj's tweet went out before I even got to the thread, but I still haven't been able to get an answer to that question. And I heard Matt Moore talking to the insiders a few minutes ago, and there seems to be at least a whispering belief that Detroit might have talked to Malik about a substantial amount of money. Detroit just fired their head coach.
Was it $1 trillion? Because if it ain't $1 trillion, that ain't enough to go to that situation.
Well, again, I don't know. The number, it was substantial, though. The number was approaching $20 million. But I can't get any of this followed up on, but there seems to be enough whispers about it. Like, it sounds like there was something there with Detroit. Detroit fired their freaking coach a day ago. And it's like, and so this, man, this is the conversation we were having, though. This is the conversation you and I have had for months. It's not just 3 years, 4 years, two plus one. It's what you can do with your next contract. You could have gotten $100 million from Detroit, and that would have been it.
Yeah, you would have faded into
You would have been done, in my opinion. As great as you would have been, and you would have scored, you would have done all of this stuff. You might have had to fight, you know, Jaden Ivey for possession of the ball or whatever. But you would have been Malik there. No one would have cared. Because you were in Detroit, and then immediately you come off that contract, it's going to be more difficult for you to sign because you're older and you're coming off a bad team, and people are going to feel like, well, we've got to get Malik reacclimated to the league. He's been in Detroit. Here, Malik is in control of a very lucrative financial future because he's going to be on a good basketball team. He's going to be a very, very important part of a good basketball team moving forward. The things that we have about 4 hours to figure out is what's his role on this team? Is it different than last year? Is Malik's role one thing today and going to be something totally different in 2 weeks? These are all things we're going to work through. Kyle Madsen's going to join us. We're going to work through them together. James Hamm is going to join us. Chris Biederman's going to join us.
I had Chris
locked in before the news broke.
It's lit. Look, look, everybody know. The vibes are up at Club Malik.
Let's go, KC.
Let's go, baby.
Head over to at KingKC underscore something or another and submit your resumes.
The vibes are up in Malik's.
Let's
go,
baby.
They want to know, is there a cover charge in Malik's? Hey, I'm trying to make it free.
Let's go old school. We're going old school.
Are we going 15?
We're going old school.
15 to 20.
No, ladies free before midnight.
Oh, let's go.
Ladies free before midnight.
Ladies free before midnight in Malik's. Let's go.
Y'all know what it is.
Let's go.
Kyle Madsen joins us when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. No, where'd you get that shirt? Come on, man. Why are you shy?
I got it from the store.
What's Mark Jones say?
He says, wear your blessing.
So don't be bashful when you're blessed. It's fine. This man tried to cushion it by talking about, I get shirts at Target.
I do. I be getting
no, you get, yeah, I'm like sure you got undershirts. Yeah.
No, I wear out.
My brother in Christ, you did not get that at Target.
You did.
I didn't say I did.
When's the last time you bought a shirt at Target?
It's been probably about a month ago.
Dog, that t-shirt's a car payment.
No, it's not. Stop it.
I'm on the website.
I didn't get it from the website.
What shirt did you have on at the Juneteenth Festival?
T-shirt.
This dude right here.
Is it more of a flex to buy it from the site or more of a flex to get it from like the owners?
Do I have a Gucci t-shirt?
That's a good one.
Do I have a Gucci t-shirt?
I haven't worn it yet.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who in here? Raise your hand if you got a Gucci t-shirt.
Why are you bringing up stuff that's got nothing to do with nothing?
don't try
to turn everybody on other people.
But I'm just saying, that's a different level. Don't do that. All you guys, don't do that.
I'm wearing a tank top.
Get off that website.
I'm wearing a tank top and I will admit though, I look spectacular today. I look spectacular.
This is how you know we work in an office all day and we're like somewhere all day until it cools off.
Yep.
I got jeans on. Yep. He's got a cardigan on. It's supposed to be.
It's 97 degrees outside.
Doesn't matter.
I always ask Siri, hey Siri, what's the temperature outside? It's 97 degrees. And I just was like, well, it doesn't really matter.
We literally get to dress however we want. Yeah, if we want it to be winter, that's fine.
If I
want to
come in here looking like New York undercover, I can. It's not a problem.
We're literally like basketball players. Like, you see like all those people from the finals, they come in. Wouldn't Jalen wear like a leather jacket and leather pants on June 6th?
Yeah.
Like, it don't matter. Like,
yeah. Yeah, today he had on shorts and a t-shirt.
He did, yeah.
He was out at the parade. Yeah, he was out at the parade. But, hey, all I knew is I'm going to be fly today because it's Malik Monk Day.
It's Malik Monk Day. Hey, more air horns for Malik Monk Day.
Yeah,
more air horns. Let's go. 621 forever in the city of Sacramento is Malik Monk.
Kyle is thoroughly enjoying our nonsense so he can finish his lunch. I guess that's the beauty of what we do here, Kyle. It's like, no, y'all go ahead, get your stuff off because I got to finish my lunch here.
Hey, man, you know, got to eat to live. That's what Chicago said in the Important Justice.
You
got to
get nice t-shirts, too. What's that?
You would know. Stop.
That's good. Oh, man. Well, hey, Kamara's weighed in, and if anybody would know.
Yeah. He needs to shut the hell up. That's who needs to shut the hell up.
If anybody.
I've seen his
Instagram. If anybody would speak on an expensive wardrobe, it is our brother Kamara.
I've seen his jewels. Yeah. Well, pause. You know?
I
got the balls in first.
No.
I got the balls in first.
I don't think this has ever happened before. Hang on. Oh, this.
I got the balls in first. I got the balls in first.
Now it's too late.
No, the balls came before.
Hey, man, that is wild.
Oh my god!
I'm disputing that flag. I'm challenged. I got the pause in. I got the pause in.
Oh
first,
man!
You said you went. I've seen his jewels.
Oh,
well, pause.
Oh man. Oh, we need somebody. Kenny a sandwich.
Hey, yo, that was wild, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. That was wild. Hey, it don't count. I got the pause, but that was.
Hey,
wild.
You've already been tossed, buddy.
Brother, you Pete Rose, you're bound for life.
Wow.
Kamara has really nice jewelry.
Too late. No, don't try to clean it up now. Lord have mercy.
Holy crap. Come on.
Kyle, your thoughts on Kamara's jewels.
We can't even have a conversation. I hate it here, man. We can't even have a conversation, man. That's all we're trying to do, man. It's
Kamara's a distinguished attorney. He's like, I'm out of here. This is why I don't come back to Sacramento.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Welcome to Malik Monk Day, everybody. Malik Monk is now associated with this.
I'm seeing how many of Kenny's t-shirt Malik Monk could buy with this year's salary.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
What?
That's a good 12. Idea. It's a good exercise.
You get 12. Yeah, 12 of them.
That's a good number.
I don't even know where you guys are looking at. This is inaccurate. It's not accurate at all.
Anyway,
that was wild.
Welcome to the show, Kyle Madsen. Man, welcome to the show. Man, you guys got the day off to a great start. Obviously, the vibes are immaculate. Kings fans are feeling terrific. Malik Monk is back with Sacramento, and you joked the other day. It's the off season. Now the work begins. Well, I argue that now the Kings got work to do. It's like the most important thing happened. Thank goodness it did. The most important thing happened. Okay, that's great. We're gonna have fun today.
Have a good time today.
Yeah, but come Monday,
it's time to get back.
We're two days away from the draft. The conversation's gonna change a little bit. The tone's gonna be different because it's like, hey, what are we doing now?
That's it. Like that's the next step here. But to that point, this isn't a scenario where like the 49ers with Brandon Ayuk. That is, hey, this got to get done. Mm-hmm. Hey, the offseason's not really done until this is complete. They got boxes to check, and they checked a bunch of them, and there's the one right at the top, the very glaring one they haven't done. With the Kings, this was the biggest one. It was Malik Monk and Mike Brown. Getting those two things, those are out of the way now, and that's great, but that doesn't mean the offseason's over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's still a ton of work to do, but to that point, there's less work to do than had they not retained Malik Monk, and that is the key thing for me today, because if Malik is walking, Now all of a sudden, and we talked about this on the Insiders, you have to replace his production on the court. You have to replace his presence in the locker room. You heard every single player that talked about or was asked about Malik Monk at their exit interview with the Kings. Every single one of them brought up his leadership, how vocal he is, how he is the only player on the team that is like that. De'Aaron Fox is not. Domantas Sabonis is not. Right. Keegan Murray is not. All due respect to JaVale McGee, but if JaVale McGee is your vocal leader, like you're building your team wrong.
It's almost like TT.
So
JaVale's better than TT, though. TT, you know TT.
I agree. No, you're having a tough start to today's show.
It's almost like TT. That's
it's just weird.
Halliburton
the voice you were doing, it was weird.
What?
Because you're talking TT. You know TT.
I don't know who TT is.
It's Tristan Thompson.
Oh.
Tyrese Halliburton used to call him TT.
We're still unclear as to why he was doing that, but he was just doing press conferences. Yeah, TT told us to.
That's okay. What he called TT.
First of all. Don't do that anymore. Also, don't listen.
Which
we
voice
don't need like.
In?
Well, that's a great question.
That is a good question. That is.
That's a great question.
But
because if he does that with some bass in his voice, I think
it was the other one.
To your point, Tristan, when he was here, he would do all this. Yeah, we got to be better. You guys, he would do all this talking, and it was like, bro, you can't even get off the bench. So, yeah. I mean, not to disrespect JaVale, I think JaVale's. I like JaVale a little bit more than Tristan Thompson. So, but to your point, like he can't be the guy.
Sure, he can lead a huddle.
For the record, I like JaVale a lot more than Tristan Thompson.
It's not even close.
I'll turn that.
Okay,
JaVale's one of my favorite players ever. But if he's your guy breaking down the huddle and being all fired up pregame, great. Like that's awesome. But he can't be your vocal leader that everybody looks to in a key spot. Like, hey man, what do we got?
It's okay once. In those situations, it's okay once or, you know, a couple of times throughout a season. That can't be the guy you turn to, you know, four games in a row. Okay, JaVale, how do we get out of this one?
Yeah. No, it would have taken a lot to replace Malik Monk and then also go do all the stuff they need to do about adding size and athleticism. So now it's like Monk's here. And not just for this season. Now, you know, moving forward, it's De'Aaron Fox, it's Malik Monk, it's Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray. Those are your dudes.
Yeah.
There's a real direction now. Mike Brown is under contract for the next 3 years. Mm. Like they know, hey, this is the group that is going to move forward, and that's such a huge deal. How often over the last, I pick a number of years, have we talked about the Kings needing stability, needing a direction, and then needing to get a foundation that you can then build off of? And now, hey, this is the foundation. But now to the point you brought up, Damian. You got to build off it. This is great. You have your base layer now surrounding that with the right pieces on the margins is going to be vital.
And both of you guys are 100% correct. I agree with you. The thing about getting the Malik situation taken care of right now is it allows you to lock in.
Yeah.
It allows you to lock in and really pinpoint what you want to do specifically with this roster. Who you're willing to trade, if it's a free agent, whatever, what you're willing to give up, because you've got that out the way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's a level of stability, like you mentioned, Kyle, to this roster, to this organization. And now to build this roster out, you can get laser focused on, all right, we're laser focused on getting Kuzma, Ingram, or LaVine. And then, you know, we can go get a John Collins or whatever the case may be. But worst case scenario, we can run it back and be somewhat confident that we can get to the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. Worst case scenario. We're not resting on our laurels. We're trying to improve. But worst case, we know we've got these guys that we felt really good about last year back in the fold. Mm-hmm. And it's just monumental being able to sign him in general, but when they were able to do it, it's also another big caveat to it.
Yeah, that's a really, really important part that's kind of new to all of this. Like the collective bargaining agreement changed. They're allowed to negotiate with their own players. Now we can talk about how this stuff really works and how, you know, how things are circumvented and done, but like they can talk to each other and they can come to agreements and release them to the public. The fact that, it's never getting to an opportunity like it's hard to not think about the fact Domas never got to the point where he was going to be able to negotiate with other teams. Malik Monk never got to the point where he was in reality going to be able to negotiate with other teams. The fact that those two guys locked into Sacramento, like, I know that the Kings aren't exactly where we want them, but man, it's hard for me to look at them and go, hey, they're not in a good position. Mm-hmm. No, they very much are. They're in a really good position. And I think some of these little moves, as stupid as some of the Mike Brown stuff was a couple of weeks ago, this team is in a good spot. Mm-hmm. You know, they need to do more to get better, to become like a true championship contender. But this team right now is in a good spot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But now it's not, now to me, everything we talked about with the offseason was size and athleticism, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you need wings. This is a wings league. You need wings. And they need more help there. And now that's the focus. They don't have to worry about, hey, who's the sixth man going to be? How are we going to replace Malik? Can D'Anthony Melton do it? How much do we pay that guy? Like, no, now it's just, hey, go get size, athleticism, and somebody who can score it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of the...
What you said last is extremely important for me in my development. Mm-hmm. You can go get that guy, but I need a guy that can get a bucket. I need a guy mm-hmm. that's going to be a threat. Whether, you know, he's a guy that can do it off the bounce, or he's just a catch and shoot specialist, or whatever the case may be, but he has to be able to score. Because the thing that I keep thinking about all the time is, if you don't care about what they do on the offensive end, look at Jared Vanderbilt mm-hmm. and what became of him. I know he was injured a lot last year, but in that playoff series where he looked so mm-hmm. vital, he got up against a team that said, in the Warriors, said, we're just not going to guard you.
Yeah.
The Nuggets, we're just not going to guard you. We're going to play 5-on-4
yep.
on the defensive end. Darvin Ham eventually said, I can't play this guy. He's a yep. really good defender, but I can't play him because my stars mm-hmm. are getting double teamed because nobody's respecting this guy. So I agree, they need the size, athleticism, and all this other stuff. You got to make sure the guy can get a bucket. Like I said, whether it's attacking the basket, cutting, catch and shoot from three, whatever, they've got to be able to get a bucket to balance everything out.
Yep.
I have a name I want to throw at everyone. I feel like people won't like it, but it's just a question. And it's not like the move, the next move. It's just, I'm curious what y'all think. Given what we saw yesterday, what if Lonzo Ball was available?
Lonzo would be fine. I mean, he like to sign.
You'd probably have to trade for him.
I wouldn't give. I'd give like a second rounder, but sure.
Yeah, I'd take a flyer on Lonzo for sure.
For sure, but
would you trade Davion Mitchell for Lonzo Ball?
No, because I don't know if Lonzo's ever going to play basketball.
And I know. Yeah, I know. I'm going to get minutes from Davion.
Okay,
Lonzo. I like the player for sure.
But by all appearances, he's working. He's playing like it looked bad. Mm-hmm. I get a strong impression he's playing basketball next mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if he's playing for Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chicago. If Chicago says, hey, we'll take a second round pick, and if I don't know
mm-hmm.
if the Sasha Vezenkov thing is like beyond fixing, and mm-hmm. he's like, I want out of Sacramento, and Sacramento's like, great, we'll figure it out. And you want to throw him in, then fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't do like a lot more than that. And even I'm not even sure I'd want to give up Sasha for him.
Really?
Just at this point. Yeah, it's not having nothing to do with him as a player. It's just I don't know for sure if how much you're gonna get out of him.
If he if he is able to stay healthy and play, I could see his career kind of panning out the way Sean Livingston,
mm-hmm.
you know, where Sean Livingston was supposed to be a superstar prospect, mm-hmm. starter, franchise-type player. He had the unfortunate injury and kind of morphed into this super sub where, mm-hmm. like, he's because of the injuries, you can't play him like a starter. You can't put that type of workload on him, you know, for a season or for his career. But you can play him sparingly off the bench, and his high IQ and his just natural skill set mm-hmm. was able to be magnified with that Warriors team. I would love to take that chance with Lonzo Ball if he was available.
Yeah.
The other thing about all this as well is, and this is something I'm sure we're going to talk about throughout the day, is I'm not closing the door on Zach LaVine. I'm not closing the door on that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not closing the door on that.
And why not?
That's all. Well, there's a couple things to it. Number one, I'm saying that with the idea that Malik Monk might start. So I could see you going relatively small with the small guard lineup with Fox, Malik, and LaVine as the three guards, put Keegan at the four. I know a lot of people want to think – I feel like I might be the only one that's like, let's stop playing around. Keegan's a four. Like, he's not – I don't think he's a three. He may be able to guard some threes and stuff like that, but I think you maximize who he is and who he can be as a player by having him as a stretch four. And that's the way
that's kind of interesting.
But if you go with the three guard, I think about it like this. I think about let's work backwards here. Let's start with the Western Conference champions. If you have Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, and Zach LaVine, who on Dallas is playing Zach LaVine off the court? Or Malik Monk? Nobody. Like, you just stick one of them two on Derrick Jones or or who was the other one that was playing well?
Maxi Kleber.
Maxi, or I was thinking PJ Washington. They don't do nothing. They ain't gonna, like, this ain't the 80s and 90s where they get a mismatch and they're gonna take you to the block. Like, no, these guys are gonna stand around on the perimeter. You put Keegan on Luka or something like that, and you rock that way. We can work backward. Minnesota, Fox guards Conley. You could put whoever you want on Anthony Edwards. Is going to be tough regardless. Mm-hmm. You put Malik Monk or something on McDaniels and all this other stuff.
You don't think they're just going to hunt them with switches and then go to work?
Who? Hunt who? What are they going to
do? Zach LaVine.
They're just going to be on the perimeter. Like, when you talk about, if I'll put it to you like this too. If you want, like, them to hunt and not move the ball around and do all this other stuff, by all means, go ahead. They don't, like, the point is they don't have multiple guys that are going to hunt those guys off the court. At least Minnesota doesn't. Dallas, you got Kyrie and Luka and doing all this other stuff. They can hunt. They're going to hunt regardless. It don't matter who you have in there. They're going to hunt, and they're going to try to find that matchup regardless of who you have out there. So my thought is have the I want to be devastating on offense. I want to, and the Kings are like almost there, where somebody looks at them and like, damn, how do we match up with Fox, Monk, Keegan, and LaVine, and B.I., and Kuz? Like, how do we match up with that? Because at some point, it's going to be a problem. At some point, there's somebody that can't guard one of these four, at least one of these four. And I think that would be the mindset I would have for it.
I thought the LaVine stuff might be dead.
I did too, until the stuff that we read this morning. But
what did you read this morning, guys?
That I think it was Jake Fisher was saying that he still believes the Kings are.
Yeah,
like, I'm wary on that. I'm wary. I think Jake Fisher is piggybacking off of what Matt Moore said. He wrote, like, it sounds like the Kings are the front runner for Zach LaVine. But then if you go read Casey Johnson in NBC Sports Chicago, who covers the Bulls, he said that the Bulls are in active talks with the Sixers and Jazz about LaVine. Doesn't mention the Kings.
And then someone reported yesterday, yeah, that's not true. The Sixers are not involved in this at all.
We got Woj and Shams all over again.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of stuffs out there. But like,
I don't know if anybody offered Zach LaVine.
The Jazz trading for Zach LaVine would be so funny.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Crazy. Like, we're talking three guard lineup. The Jazz are over there like, five guards.
Also, crazy. Danny, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like, no idea.
What are you doing?
The whole point, though, is I wouldn't close the door on LaVine. He wouldn't be my first choice. I still want Kuzma first and probably be a second.
Is Kuzma above Ingram? Is that just financial?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
That's easy
financials.
Work. Yeah.
I think Kuz is a little bit of a better fit.
Easy work.
Yeah. Kyle Kuzma, I think, is a way better fit for Sacramento than Zach LaVine is.
Oh, no. B.I. Did I say
I
LaVine?
Thought you said Kuz. I thought you said Kuz.
Oh, no. Oh. Sorry. Let me backtrack this. 3-2. We'll just cut this.
Yeah, yeah. No, this
post.
Is no. This
cut
is
the beginning of the segment too.
Yeah. No.
No, keep
in fact,
that part.
Re-rack the
that's
beginning
a,
of the segment
a,
right
a,
here.
That's a Zay. That's a Zay meme.
But that is on Run It Back at 4:00.
Yeah. I want to remind you, the official left his post, walked into this studio, threw a flag, and threw you out.
He caught a flight from Secaucus.
He did.
I said
the replay center left.
Watch yourself.
Well, Secaucus is a real place. Grow up.
Malik signs to the Kings, and we don't know how to act.
No, so let's, okay, so let's rewind.
So I might, so I have, may have misheard you, sorry.
You have Kuzma and then Ingram?
Mm-hmm. I do, yes.
Yeah, I think I'm with that too, because Ingram has that, I don't.
Ingram, you're going to have to max now.
Yeah, well, but you probably won't. Right, because it's more financially beneficial for him to wait.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so,
but you
sorry,
always got to have that in
next,
the back of your mind.
He's
like,
but he's going to be a free agent. Like he's going to be able to. Mm-hmm. It makes there's no Domas situation here for him. They're not going to be able to do that again. Mm-hmm. So Ingram would enter free agency, and whatever you traded to mm-hmm. to get him is gone. And you're hoping he resigns, and you're signing him at an incredible dollar figure. Kuzma's under contract for 3 years. He's a really good basketball player, yeah. And he is on a. It's not my money, so I don't really care about this stuff as much as other people do. But it's on a very team friendly contract.
Well, it matters for the salary cap and stuff. And
no, sure.
About how much the Kings are going to pay over it, but yeah, I think.
Yeah, again, that ain't my money. If they are good, I don't care.
I don't. Actually, like, really disagree. I just know that everybody's very high on Brandon Ingram, and I am not that high on Brandon Ingram. I see the fit, I see the vision, but I've never watched Brandon Ingram be like, oh man, he's going for 40 tonight for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get that he's good and I get the numbers, and I've seen, but I also am like, I feel like I leave Brandon Ingram games underwhelmed more often than not. And
go ahead.
With Kuzma, I think somewhere along the line, we got this idea that, not we, but people got this idea that Kyle Kuzma, like, sucks or is a good stats, bad team guy or something like that. Kyle Kuzma can play. Mm-hmm. He is a very good player.
So you have Kuzma over BI too.
Yeah, now that I'm talking it out, yeah. I was just surprised that
my Ingram line of thinking is more in line with yours than anyone else's. Go ahead.
Two things that you said. I'm probably in that camp with Ingram, like, his numbers don't match up how I feel about him. Like, I'm like, yo, he can go. Like, he is a bucket. He can get you whatever you want anytime. And then I go to Basketball Reference and he averaged 20 a night. I was like, damn, I could have swore he averaged 25.
B.I.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I could have swore he averaged 25, 26. But that, you know, I feel like he's that type of player. The other thing, what you said about Kuzma, I feel like people are doing that a little bit with LaVine. Like, they kind of treat LaVine like he's trash. And Zach LaVine, he can go. And you're also talking about, like, maybe he's not a franchise guy, but he comes here to Sacramento, he's like your third option. It's almost, to a certain degree, with a more balanced roster, Bradley Beal and what happened in Phoenix. Bradley Beal just couldn't stay healthy. When he played, he had a really good season with Phoenix.
But do you feel like that worked?
It worked because they didn't have the roster around. The Kings have
it
a
didn't
better,
work.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
And they still got higher than – they got into the playoffs. But it didn't work because of injuries, and it didn't work because they didn't have the roster around those three mm-hmm. players. That I don't think is a problem for the Kings. I think they have a way better supporting cast than what Phoenix had when they got
– Do you think LaVine makes them a championship contender? Don't answer. Don't answer. Because this is radio, and we've got to convince people to stick through the commercial break. No, it's seriously. I want you to give an expansive answer. I assuming he's leaving, but you're welcome.
I have a lot of stuff to do, and I would like to not be at work anymore. If that's okay with you guys,
no, that's
no, it's
fine.
Not
okay,
you're welcome to leave. You're welcome to leave. That's Kyle Mattson of the Insiders. We'll come back. KC will answer that question about Zach LaVine, and we're talking about Kyle Kuzma. We aren't the only ones who want to see a Sacramento Kings Kyle Kuzma trade. Mm. We'll explain what we're talking about when D'Lo and KC return here. Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. The
I like your little giggle. I got to see what the hell.
Check
is
the group
going.
Chat.
The AI summary of the YouTube show today reads: the live chat is buzzing about Kenny Powers grabbing Kamara's family jewels during the show.
Yo,
leading to speculation.
Now you guys see why I don't like robots, man. They just throwing anything out there.
Leading to speculation about the potential consequences and reactions. Boy.
I got to say, with the how AI is going and all that, like, if it was humans versus AI, we're sweeping them in four. Easy.
YouTube really nailed this
crazy
one. Kenny Powers grabbing Kamara's family jewels.
Yo.
Wow.
Nah, man. Come on, man.
Hey.
Come on. Well, we gotta do something about this AI. It's getting ridiculous.
Man, that is tough. That is tough. Oh, in any event, man, let's open up these phone lines for you. 916-909-1320. We'd love to hear from you all throughout the day.
Yeah, man, Malik Monk Day. We want to hear from you guys on Malik Monk Day.
Indeed. Chris Biederman's going to join us later on in the show. James Hamm is going to join us, of course, in the final hour of the show before he heads off on his vacation. So lots to talk to James about. Excited for that. Excited to talk to our man, Chris Biederman. When I text Chris, I text him maybe 10 minutes before the news broke, and it was just like, hey, we got a Friday, we really talk about anything. You know, I just saw you wrote an article about the A's and the stadium in Sacramento, and of course we got 49er stuff, and we'll talk Kings. And then Woj tweeted, so there's that.
Woj stopped everything around these parts, man.
So we will be talking about Malik Monk with our man Chris Biederman. I asked you just before the break, as we were wrapping up our conversation with Kyle Madsen and the insiders, we were talking about Zach LaVine. I thought maybe the Zach LaVine conversation might die down or just die a little bit following Malik Monk's signing here. You feel differently. It's fine. I asked you, do you think Zach LaVine catapults the Sacramento Kings into a Western Conference title contender? I said title contender. I'm going to walk that back. I'm going to say a Western Conference title contender. Mm-hmm. And your answer is?
I won't be on the fence. My first thought would say no, right? Mm. That would be my first thought. So you can mark that down as my official answer. But I'll follow it up by saying he can. Like, he can elevate them, and it depends on – you know, how he meshes. Some of it depends on what happens with Keegan Murray, you know, and if he's able to up his game a little bit or whatever the case may be. I think I can see a scenario where they're a top three team in the Western Conference with that. And I know a lot of people
see that?
If he can stay healthy, right?
A 50-plus win.
Yeah.
Top three team.
Absolutely. And you know, I understand the concerns. Like I said, he's not my first choice at all. But I do think that people are kind of selling Zach LaVine short at this point. Like, with the vitriol, like, no, I don't want nothing to do with him. That's a pretty good ball player. That's a pretty, pretty good ball player. Like, I know people hate the contract. There's a reason he was able to get that contract with his skill level and what he could bring to the table. Mm-hmm. Like I said, is he a guy that you build a franchise around at this point? Absolutely not. But if he came to Sacramento and he was, you know, maybe your second or third scorer, you know, your shot creator and things of that nature, he could flourish in that role for sure. And that would help the team, I think.
It goes back to a line Kyle Madsen had during the season about Domas being your second best player is easy. Like, that's not a problem. Domas being your second best scorer might be problematic. Mm-hmm. Just because of the way he chooses to play, just because of the way he plays. Like, he doesn't force shots. He doesn't take bad shots. And he is always going to look to get everybody else involved. Having a guy who will be a little more aggressive, and this is where, like, I think another big Malik Monk conversation comes into play. There was certainly nothing written about this last night. And even some stuff Keith Smith has written in the past had me thinking, like, we're assuming, like, Malik to Orlando starting there. Malik to here, he's a starting. Like, I think when Keith wrote about Orlando, he talked about Malik being a bench option for Orlando. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not reporting this as an insider who's connected and getting all this new. He's just looking at the roster and laying out what the Orlando Magic with Malik Monk would look like. Mm-hmm. There was nothing written about what Malik's role with the team is last night. And I'm of the belief, I don't think we know. Mm. Now, we can operate, and I don't think it would be dangerous to do this under the assumption that he'll be back in the role that he was last year. Mm-hmm. My feeling is, though, right now, this second, Malik Monk is, you know, he's that guy, mm-hmm. the six-man guy that we saw last year. Keon Ellis is starting, and that's how they're building. Right now, on Malik Monk Day, June 21st, that's what I think the look is. We hope this roster continues to evolve. As this roster changes, I think that idea could change. Mm. If a Kyle Kuzma situation presents itself and Harrison Barnes winds up moving to the bench, of course, assuming that Harrison Barnes is still here and it's Kevin Huerter that's gone, I can see a situation where Harrison Barnes and Keon Ellis are the guys coming off the bench and Malik Monk is starting alongside Kyle Kuzma and you know, the rest of the guys. Mm-hmm. I don't think Malik's role is defined yet, and I feel like Malik knew that when he signed or when he agreed to stay with the Sacramento Kings last night.
I could believe that. I could absolutely believe that. I do feel like I feel like there's an understanding without being said, maybe, that it's like, all right, it's time to try him as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially with like, and I know Keon had a great finish to the season, and I love Keon and what he brings to the table. You know, we talked about it on here. Like, he has all defensive team potential. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about him. But now with Kevin Huerter kind of out the way as the potential starter, it opens up the door for Malik now that he's coming back, and I'm starting to wrap my head around that. Is like that. That's the move, and what could that look like? And the first name that continues to come to my mind, and we mentioned it a little bit a couple times before, is CJ McCollum. Fox and Monk mm-hmm. turn into a version of Dame and CJ.
Mm-hmm.
And is it out of the realm of possibility to think Malik Monk could be CJ McCollum? I got a couple of numbers. CJ's second year, he was 23. This year, his second year in the league, played 62 games. Obviously, there was something going on. He only averaged 6.8 points per game. Like, maybe it didn't mesh with the coach or whatever the case may be. In the third year, in that second year, he was averaging 15.7 minutes a night. In that third year, he shot up to a full-time starter, played 80 games. He scored 20.8 a night. But the thing that I'm really looking at when I think about Malik Monk and saying, can he be that,
mm-hmm.
is the minutes per game shot up to 34.8 minutes a night. Malik right now, I think, is at 26 a night.
Right.
And is it inconceivable if you move him into the starting lineup to think that he can maybe it's not 34 minutes a night, but what if it's 32?
Mm-hmm.
Can he get to 18 points a night? I think he can,
mm-hmm.
you know, as your starting two guard. I think he's got – that type of skill set, that type of skill level to say a CJ McCollum type breakout from him as a starter is conceivable.
I don't, I'd be curious to hear anyone's argument that that's not possible. Mm. Malik was 15 points per game, mm-hmm. you said this year?
Mm-hmm.
Giving him 6-7 more minutes in this conversation, that's giving him a handful more of shots. Because unlike Domantas Sabonis, you're not going to have to beg Malik Monk to find his shot.
It's my kind of player.
and my man is going to find it.
Yeah.
So, no, it isn't even remotely inconceivable.
Yeah.
So that absolutely is a possibility.
So I think about that, and that's why I think about the possibility of him starting and being okay.
Remember your original epiphany that we needed Dame Lillard?
Yeah.
It might be we actually needed CJ McCollum. The epiphany has come full circle.
Good call. Good call, man. Yeah, I'm mentally preparing myself and I'm ready for the Kentucky connection to finally, in the NBA, be on full display. You know, I thought we might have it on draft night in 2017. I said, go ahead, go get Malik Monk. It didn't happen. They separated, went their own ways. Fox is here. Malik finally gets here. I was pushing for him to start from the beginning, but mm-hmm. I understood after a while. I was like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Kevin Herter's fine. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then Malik played so well as a sixth man. I was like, oh no, leave him there. It's good. But now you got him here for 3 to 4 years. He's clearly a part of your core.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, man. Start the man. Let's go.
You said a couple of things there. I want to get to, namely, you talked about, you know, draft night, Malik going elsewhere. I talked about this on the Insiders, and I don't want it to wind up being like 2 minutes over the course of a, you know, 6 hour day where we don't discuss Malik's story and getting drafted by Charlotte and how he's gotten to this point and the control that he has moving forward. And we'll get to that in a minute.